Now, let's consider an important question. How can we prevent power struggles? How do we effectively halt them and stop them from erupting? To achieve this, we need to craft an environment where children will pay heed to us. However, it's crucial to understand that this isn't a strategy to be deployed in the thick of conflict or in real-time scenarios. Instead, these moments should transpire when we are tranquil, not feeling the heat of anger, and importantly, when the child is at ease too. Such instances often occur close to bedtime, after everyone has calmed down during shower, or just before a bedtime story. Alternatively, this could also happen during a peaceful car ride, what one might refer to as quality time. This period of tranquility is what we term as conversation time. There exists a course on this topic that elucidates on conversation time, reaction time, their distinctions, and how we facilitate them. Nevertheless, I will proceed to clarify this here as well. Conversation time is our allocated period when we can impart knowledge to our children, imbue values, and discuss matters we wish for them to absorb and act upon. It is essential to comprehend how we should conduct this conversation time. Firstly, once we've established our serene period when everyone is calm, and I emphasize, we too should be calm. We should not harbor any lingering anger from previous conflicts. The conversation initiates when the parent communicates their feelings to the child. The focus isn't the child or their deeds, but the behavior in question, how it impacts the parent and how it makes them feel. For example, parents could express their discomfort when someone addresses them harshly. They're, in essence, conveying to the child how they feel when the child behaves rudely towards them, raises their voice, or hurls objects. The parent might say, "I really don't appreciate when someone speaks rudely to me," or "I genuinely dislike when people disregard the value of objects in the home and throw them around." They might even communicate their emotional pain by stating, "It deeply hurts my feelings when someone is impolite to me. I feel profoundly insulted and utterly despondent." In such circumstances, parents can express, "In these instances, I feel hurt and need time to regain my composure. I require some personal space, and if such situations recur, I will take a time out and disengage from the scenario." It's essential to heed the nuance of this conversation. I, as a parent, am outlining a situation where I'm hurt when people disrespect me, and then I articulate my intended course of action if it reoccurs. Does it happen again? More often than not, it does. Children tend to test our boundaries. Hence, we need to rehearse these responses. I often suggest parents seize these moments as opportunities to strategize how to tackle these situations in advance. This way, both you and the child can practice, leading to a gradual shift in understanding within the household that the status quo has evolved. In such a situation, I start by sharing my feelings and my plan of action. The important thing to remember is that if I need to take a break, it's not to punish the child or because I'm angry with them. It's just that I need some alone time when people are rude to me, as it makes me uncomfortable or hurt. I don't blame the child by saying, "You are rude to me." Instead, I generally express that I don't like when people are rude. It's also not about punishing the child. Instead, when I react, it's about setting a boundary in the house and taking some time for myself. In this conversation, the child listens and understands my perspective. They see how their actions can hurt me and that I take measures to calm down. This might make them realize that they shouldn't behave like this because it hurts their mom or dad. Young children often feel bad when they know their parents are hurt, as they completely trust them. We're everything to them, especially at a young age. So when they realize we're hurt and need to calm down, they might become more understanding. Later on, if we're unsure what to do, we can follow this plan. We express our feelings and explain the consequence. It's important to stress that this isn't punishment. I just need some alone time because I'm really hurt. In the same conversation, we don't stop at this point. We also need to give the child some space to express their thoughts and feelings. When we do this, we're teaching them. As we've discussed before, we ask them how they would handle anger. What can help them control their anger or stop them from saying unpleasant things? Encourage them to think about what calms them down. They might already have a solution, but have never thought about it before. Maybe all they need is a gentle look, instead of an angry one or a hug. Suggest this. Ask, maybe you need a hug, or do you need me to be with you, to hug you? Will that calm you down? Many children feel comforted by a hug as they realize their parent isn't angry at them. This can help relieve their constant fear. Did I do something wrong? Is my dad mad at me? What's happening? Will he stay mad? Will he be mad at me forever? They need to see in your eyes that no matter what happens, even if I'm angry and you're angry too, I will always love you. We're everything to them, especially at a young age. They need to feel our unconditional love, not just see it. Expressing this love is essential. Then, when our right actions reflect our words, they'll understand and say to themselves, "My parents said something, and they are doing it. That must be the right thing to do." In difficult times, we need to guide them and suggest solutions that might help them. They might have their own ideas, and it's important for us to trust their judgment, as their ideas could be beneficial. Never dismiss their thoughts by saying no. That won't help you. Allow them to experiment. They have plenty of ideas. Our job is to equip them with the tools to handle their anger. This is extremely crucial, and our response is equally important. We should try harder not to show them anger, especially when they need our warmth and love the most. Remember, many children, even after their anger has subsided and they have received a comforting hug, may still question their parent, "Do you still love me?" They ask to reassure themselves because they long to hear it. We must communicate our love to them without any conditions, reassuring them that it's okay to be angry sometimes. We understand how to manage our anger, and we will assist them in doing the same. If they need a hug or anything else that could calm them down, we will always be there for them, even if we're angry. Consider using children's books that discuss the unconditional love between a parent and a child. Read these books to your child before bedtime to help them understand this concept. Now, what happens in real-life situations? You already have had a fruitful conversation with your children where you discussed everything, stated your position, and promised not to punish them. But what happens when they misbehave or speak rudely in real time? Our children often test us to see our reaction. Will we stay true to our word? This is likely to happen. In such scenarios, during moments of anger, we must act exactly as we promised. For example, if I mention that I feel hurt when spoken to rudely, I won't belittle them or say things like, "We just talked about this yesterday. Was my explanation not clear?" Instead of these types of sentences, I'd repeat what I said during our conversation. "I'm really hurt right now, and I need some time for myself. I'll be in the kitchen for a few minutes." Remember this. Don't ignore them. Don't shut doors. Don't walk away. Just follow through with what was agreed upon. If it keeps happening, keep reiterating your point, almost like a mantra, "I'm simply hurt and I need some time for myself." If the child follows you, reassure them by saying, "It's okay, I just need some time alone so that I can come back and give you a hug." Then go and manage your feelings. It's crucial to communicate your message clearly and consistently. Always use a gentle, clear, and calm voice, not an offensive one. Remember, it's vital to calm ourselves down. We're not attempting to deceive anyone here. Rather, our actions are taken in our own interest. After all, we are human beings. It's crucial to bear in mind that using offensive language is essentially a form of humiliation. Should we end up humiliating our children, they may pick up this behavior from us, and that's the exact outcome we're striving to avoid. Another essential strategy is encouragement. Perhaps you've noticed your daughter grappling with her anger. She lashed out, had a tantrum, and ended up lying on the floor. Normally, it takes her 20 minutes to regain composure, but today she managed it in 10. This is a significant improvement for her, so be sure to encourage her. Many parents may say, "But she's still not calm. She's still on the floor. They presume she's unable to control her anger." However, that's not true. She managed to tame her anger 10 minutes faster than usual, indicating she calmed herself down more quickly. That's an accomplishment to acknowledge. So, why does she need encouragement? Because next time she'll see that you're providing positive reinforcement and realize she has the ability to manage her anger. Having felt the success, she'll strive harder next time to soothe her irritation even more quickly, perhaps in 7 minutes, 5 minutes, or even 1 minute. It's crucial to continually provide encouragement, particularly for their efforts. While a separate course elaborates on this, here's a vital tip. Even when you see your children struggling, they need your encouragement more than those who are succeeding. Therefore, commend them for their efforts, propelling them forward in a positive cycle. Promote this positive cycle. Once they succeed in controlling their anger more efficiently, it's important to provide positive feedback. The way we react will have a direct impact on our children's responses as we respond in the heat of the moment, just as agreed in our previous conversation. The children will slowly perceive a shift at home. Our children will no longer be caught off guard by our reactions. We respond exactly as we had promised, prompting them to adapt their behavior in turn. They'll improve. I sincerely believe you'll understand that this calm conversational time, where you willingly dedicate your time to them, communicate, and share experiences, is perceived as a change in the parent's behavior from their perspective. This might be a new concept to them. In the past, you may have conversed with them and attempted to instill values during their bouts of anger. However, you didn't do it respectfully during a proper conversation time. I am certain that many parents often say things like, "You're always crying, and you're always making a mess." However, it's important to refrain from these comments during our conversations and reactions. Instead of blaming them, speak in general terms, describing what happens, how it makes you feel, and how you plan to respond. Remember, consistency is key. This is the whole concept. When we maintain consistency, our children will positively modify their behavior.